to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for August 27th, 2023, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
It was a little over 100 years ago, a young British soldier was in the trenches in the midst of the horror of World War I. And as he looked around, he saw that all of the great leaders of his day had utterly failed to prevent this catastrophe. In the mud and blood and suffering of the trenches, the great generals had accomplished absolutely nothing. Germans and Allied forces fought over inches year after year when hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of young men died for no real gain. He saw that the alliances and the great leaders of his day had failed. And to take his mind off of the suffering, he began to write a story that was set in a different world, where he could play around with these ideas of war and suffering, but also of heroism, and to see that often the greatest heroes come from the unlikeliest places. That man was J.R.R. Tolkien. And the book that he wrote became The Lord of the Rings and spawned a whole industry of movies, which either you've seen or at least you've heard about. In those books and movies, the heroes are not the great men of that story. It is the little hobbits who have no power, no stature, no physical strength, nothing except their pluck, their common sense, and their courage that leads them to prevail when all of the great people have failed. I thought about that as I was reading our scriptures today, because we get sort of the origin story of two great leaders in the Bible, two of the most important leaders of the Bible. In our gospel today, we have St. Peter. And this gospel, if you grew up Roman Catholic, raise your hand. Who here grew up Roman Catholic? I know we got a bunch. So this gospel really was the scripture that supports the idea that the Pope is the greatest authority in the church, right? Because Jesus says to Peter, to Simon, I'm going to rename you Peter, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. That's why we always think of Peter at the gates, right? The pearly gates, welcoming people in. And whatever, you know, you're going to have the authority, you're going to be the foundation for this church. And so that became the justification for the bishops of Rome becoming the universal leaders of the Christian church. But when you step back and you think about the life of St. Peter, this was a crazy decision by Jesus, wasn't it? Would you build your church on this guy? This guy who was impetuous and who ended up in the moment of crisis, right, in Holy Week, he denies Jesus three times. Like, he's a rock, but he's kind of a rocky rock, if you get my meaning, right? Not a great foundation. And yet that's who God chose to become the leader of the apostles. That's who God chose to give some life and meaning to this new church, leadership to the early Christian church. We go back to the Old Testament, we get another interesting character, Moses, the greatest figure of Judaism, the greatest figure of the entire Hebrew Bible. Moses, who again is somewhat of an unlikely choice to be the greatest of all the priest, prophet, leaders of Israel. Moses, who we find out later, had a speech problem. He stuttered. And he was going to be the spokesperson for all of God's people, but he could barely put a sentence together. Moses, who was impetuous also, and ended up committing murder, killing an Egyptian soldier when they were beating a fellow Israelite. Moses, who his claim to fame is that he's plucked out of the river. In some ways, the more interesting characters in this story are the women that made it possible for Moses to survive. Shiphrah and Puah, the two Israelite women who helped with births who defied the Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the world, defied him and saved the young Israelite boys. Moses' sister, who was keeping an eye on things when he was put into the river and saw that he was rescued, found a midwife for Moses who turned out to be his mother, who ended up getting paid to raise her son. It's a strange story. All of this to say that God chooses unlikely people to carry out his mission. If you look at the entire scripture, it's hard to find a time when God chose the usual suspect, right? The person who had the educational qualifications or the physical stature. Even in the book of Judges, Gideon, who's one of the greatest generals, is sort of a weird dude. I mean, he's the only one who doesn't cup his hands to drink. He just sticks his whole head in the river, and God says, "That's the guy I want." It is always the least likely person that God raises up to carry out the will of God, to build God's reign of justice, to carry out the gospel, to proclaim. I mean, the disciples, all of them were unlikely. He did not pick. Jesus could have had the pick of anybody, I'm sure. Could have picked the professors and the rabbis and the leaders, but he went for the fishermen and the tax collectors, the outcasts, the humble, because by doing so, God's glory was revealed. God's power was made perfect in that weakness. I think this principle is really important for us to hold on to, because I don't know about you, when I look at the mirror, I don't see lots of strength. I see flaws. I see weakness. I see vulnerability. I wonder, how is it possible for God to use me? Does that ever happen to you? You wonder, how could I? Do I have it? I don't think I have what it takes to do what God needs me to do. And yet, if the scripture is true, we have everything we need. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, given power, given the tools that we need to carry out the mission that God has given to us. And this gives me a lot of confidence as we enter the next few months where I'll be away on sabbatical, because I know that God has this congregation well in hand. One of the great strengths of St. Philip's over the years, through all of our ups and downs, has been that core of committed lay leaders who were able to do amazing things through the grace and power of God. And that is not changing. You're going to have a wonderful lineup of clergy coming on Sundays. I think it's going to be really fun to hear different voices, different perspectives. You'll have Father John around. He's going to be here next Sunday leading worship and also around for part of the fall. We'll have people from the diocese coming in, some wonderful retired clergy. They're all going to share from their perspective. And we have fantastic lay leaders who are going to carry on, a new pastoral care committee already trained and living out care for the people in our congregation who are homebound and can't get to church. Wonderful ministries that are new, that are starting during this time. Pat Wagner's taking on Sunday school, which is going to be revitalized, a new kind of model for that. Shar's going to be in the nursery with our youngest kids, along with Lauren, I think. Lauren, are you still doing that? Oh, good. There you are. We've got two new adult ed programs that I'm very excited about. Michelle Ward, who sings in the choir, who comes from a wealth of background in teaching in the Catholic Church, is going to offer a course on the Gospel of John on Thursday nights. I hope you will support her in that class, attend and learn. And then Rich Knapp, who's been leading our men's fellowship, is going to offer a class called Better Man for all the men. His hope is to get younger men involved. So if you're an older guy and want to come, bring a young man with you, because this is, in his experience, a kind of life-changing program. There are many other things that will be going on, fellowship groups and service and outreach. This congregation is not going to miss a step. It would give me great joy to know when I came back that I was totally irrelevant to the ministry of this church. You know what I mean. Not totally irrelevant, but you know what I mean. The spirit is here. And I know sometimes there's a sense of, you know, when the teacher's away, I don't have to go to class. When the priest's away, maybe I don't have to go to church. I hope that is not the spirit of what you're thinking, because this is the time to step forward. This is the time to get involved, to take on the ministry, knowing that like Peter, knowing that like Moses, knowing that like the disciples, God is giving you the gifts that you need to do the ministry that God has entrusted you with. I hope you feel that, because it has been the joy of my time here at St. Philip's to experience the power of that Spirit. And when you doubt yourself, if you doubt yourself, I hope you will take comfort in knowing that there are no perfect people in the Bible. There have been no perfect people in Christian history. There are only those of us who are willing to say yes to God, to allow ourselves to be drawn out of the river and into an adventure of serving God, who are, like Peter, able to overcome and move past our failures and to experience the abundance of God's blessings and grace. May these 3 months be a time of blessing for all of us, for renewal, for new life, new energy. And when we come back together, all of us, when I'm back in the end of November, may we see even more amazing possibilities before us as a congregation. I will be praying for all of you during my time away. I invite your prayers also for me and for the congregation, and may we all experience God's abundance. Amen.